You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action coming up on Thursday, July the 12th. It's live on Racing Radio and we have the first day of the July Festival for Newmarket. Lots of other great racing coming up as well. Join me, John Gibby, on Racing Radio. I'm going to be in the studio with Ross Briley and Chris Pimlott throughout the afternoon and the evening, bringing you the day's racing. But for now on the podcast, my name's John Gibby, as I've already said, and I'm joined by Paddy Aspel. Hello, Paddy, how are you?
How are you doing, John?
Yeah, not bad. Good to have you with us. In a minute, we'll get your thoughts on pretty much the biggest race of the week, the July Cup, that's coming up on Saturday. But we'll start off by taking a look at some of the racing coming up on Thursday. And as usual, you've got two selections for us.
Yeah, there was a couple of interesting ones tomorrow. Plenty of runners up at Carlisle tomorrow. Obviously, it's going to be good to firm ground. But there was some competitive stuff, to be honest. And I think I've found a couple of nice ones. In the 350, the horse at the top of the weights, Inner Circle for Roger Fell, is dropping back into Class 5 company here. Now, this horse's strike rate isn't very good, as people will see, but has been placed plenty of times, has been placed off higher marks in the past. The handicapper has been very, very slow to relent with this horse, just to give him a chance to go and get his head back in front. But as I've said, he is dropping back into Class 5 here. The Roger Fell team are having a real good time of it. Stable's in very good form. Tony Hamilton has ridden the bulk of the winners for him in the recent period, which he does tend to ride the most of many. Ben Sanderson gets plenty of opportunities as stable apprentice also. But although he is only, I think he is one from 19, that win did come at a stiff track at Leicester. So he's at Carlisle tomorrow. Like I said, although it has got the welter burden of 10 stone 3 on its back, handicapper says it's the best horse in the race. And I think this is this horse's best chance for a while to get his head in front. Now, it's no gimme. There are some other horses here that are lurking also with the same sort of profile, you know, dropping down in class. Etikal is one in particular. And, you know, so it's he's not going to have it all his own way, but just the sheer form that the stable are in just now, and off a mark of 76, he has done some damage off higher marks in the past, but I think he can get himself out of this losing run that he's currently on just now and get his head back in front tomorrow and maybe go 2 from 20, which isn't very good either, but as I've said, this is his best opportunity for some time.
Yeah, 2 from 20, not a great strike rate in the grand scheme of things, but it's also a lot better than a hell of a lot of the horses that are running at Class 5, Class 6 level as well, to be fair. Your other selection for the day, that runs at Carlisle as well?
Yeah, in the 5:35, I have gone Tim Easterby's horse here, Gillian 1. He got off the mark at Doncaster last week, or a couple of weeks ago, should I say, and that was only a 6th start, and that was off a mark of 60. Now, I rode in that race, and he was a real handful down the start. A fine, big, strapping horse, but he was a real handful. This dreamy head gelding, bit of a boy, but to be fair to him, it took them an age to get him to load and just cooperate full stop. But when the stalls opened, he made all the running, and he was never headed, and actually had to battle hard, because there was the second horse really put it up to him that day, and Gillian 1 showed a real good attitude, and he actually took a fair bit of pulling up as well, which, you know, made me think that he was valued for a bit more. And the fact that if he could just concentrate maybe on his job a little bit more. But that said, he's still very inexperienced. He's only a three-year-old. And I think, like I said, the handicapper has popped him up a few pounds for that, but not much. Rachel Richardson rides again, so take £3 of that off his back. And I think Tim Easterby has found another good opportunity for this chap here. He's drawn one, and if he can do the same again tomorrow, I think if the tongue tie and the fast ground work as effective as what they did at Donny, I think he's been very, very well placed to go back to back here.
Going one then for Tim Easterby in 5:35 at Carlisle. The second selection for Paddy in Thursday's racing will look slightly further ahead now, Paddy, to the weekend. And of course, on the final day of the July meeting, we've got the July Cup, the Group 1, the feature race of the entire meeting, and it's the best race on a fantastic day of racing around the country as well, where we've got top meetings at Ascot, at York, we're also racing at Chester. It's just a brilliant day of flat racing in general. Taking a look at the July Cup in particular, we see some of the main horses from Royal Ascot reopposing each other here. Where are you looking at this moment in time for a potential winner of the race?
I've gone with one of the lower rated horses in the race, a Royal Ascot winner in Ektidar. I mean, previous to Ektidar, I think it was the Commonwealth Cup he won at Ascot. Now, previous to that Commonwealth Cup, he'd won one race. He'd won first time out in a maiden at Nottingham, which, you know, really, it's not the normal profile for a horse with that sort of, as I say, profile to win the Commonwealth Cup. But win it he did. He still showed a bit of greenness on the day. He was very tough, but just right on top of the line, he did drift to his left ever so slightly, just causing a bit of interference. But that said, it didn't matter a jot to the result because the job was done. And he was round about 8 or 9 to 1 earlier in the week, this horse, but you know, his latest show is 11 to 2, so you know, he's quite well fancied. And I mean, he actually comes into the race on with an official rating of 114. Now, I mean, the likes of Blue Point is 120, and I'm sure I've seen Red Court Warrior, the Ascot disappointment, actually has a mark of 121. So there are, on paper, higher rated and so-called better horses in the race. But for me, this horse is still very low mileage. He's still a little bit raw, but the fact that he hit the fashion that he won at Ascot, and he still managed to run around late on, that always indicates to me that a horse has got a little bit of petrol left. Now, Jim Crowley said that this horse, afterwards he commented that he's been a bit of a slow burner. They've had to take their time with him, and you know, after winning his maiden first time in Nottingham, they went into deeper company, and it was more so his inexperience was leaving his races behind him for him. So he's just put it all together at Ascot, and I think he's been very well placed, this horse, now. And you know, it's not like Sir Michael Stout to, you know, run horses in races like this if he doesn't honestly think that they've got a competitive chance. And the horse that finished just behind him reopposes him here again today, Richard Fahey, Sands of Mali. Now, he was a little bit inconvenienced that day, as I said, with the interference, but it made no odds to the result because it was right on top of the line that it happened, so it didn't affect the result. But I thought if he stayed roundabouts where he is now at 11-2, I did think that Ektidar represented a little bit of value for the July Cup on Saturday.
You mentioned as well some of the horses higher rated than him. Of course, it's going to be a help that he receives £6 from the older horses, the likes of Blue Point, you know, Limato, a previous winner of the race, Red Kirk Warrior. Obviously, that doesn't help him with Sands of Mali, but with the older horses, that's a help to his cause.
Of course, yeah. And, you know, we've got other horses that are ahead of him in the betting, the likes of US Navy Flag. But US Navy Flag was a horse I loved last year, but he had a very busy year. And he never, ever, always done things the hard way. And it just looks this year that, I don't know if I'd use the phrase it's caught up on him so much, but he's just having to sort of go through the motions a little bit now, and this horse is just going to have to wait his turn again. So I mean, to me, him at 5 to 1 compared to Ektidar at 11 to 2, and he's, you know, he was represented far more value for me, far more unexposed. I mean, US Navy flag for a three-year-old. The July Cup on Saturday is going to be a 16 start. So I'd be far keener to be with the likes of Ektidar because, you know, he's low mileage and he's a horse who looks to me like he's on the progress.
Ektidar then for Paddy in that July Cup. It's the 2:15 at Newmarket on Saturday and it's live on Racing Radio. Betting available for the July meeting and the rest of the week's top action available on the William Hill website or on the app. Join us to listen to it on Racing Radio. Join us for the podcast again tomorrow. Paddy, thanks for being with us today.
No problem, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.